What's going on, guys? D1 here. Hope you had an amazing weekend. I sure did. I have a close friend and amazing entrepreneur here, Nick Landowski. Nick, welcome. Thanks so much, brother.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no sweat. Nick and I met about a year and change ago. It's funny. It seems like I'm getting the whole mastermind community on my YouTube channel. But yeah, Nick and I met in a mastermind, and Nick really stood out as one of those guys that understood very quickly the effectiveness of building a cool brand that people resonate to. And Nick, I won't give away your whole life story here. I'll give it to you to ring it off. But Nick made a great amount of money. He was really inspiring to me. And he seemed to have zigged when everybody else zagged. And that has attested to the level of business he's built. So Nick, again, welcome. And did you want to maybe give people kind of a quick backstory, how you got into the online world and where you're headed?
Yeah, thanks, man. Definitely would love to share my story. So I'll kind of keep it as simple as possible. So hopefully some of you guys can kind of relate. If you're listening to this right now, maybe you're working a 9-to-5 and you kind of just are struggling to scrape by and pay bills and you don't really see a point to, you know, doing what you're doing because you're not passionate about it. Well, I was kind of in your position. Not just, but I'd say about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, where, you know, I was working for a company that I didn't much care for, even though I was with them for like 13 years. So essentially I was, I don't know, just working a job, right? There really was no future in it. I was busting my butt working, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. And kind of came to the realization that this just isn't me anymore, right? And a lot of the people that I would work around, like some of my coworkers and peers and things like that, they were pretty content in their jobs because it was just a paycheck, right? And how many people are just like, okay, I'll just deal with it because it keeps, you know, the bills paid and things like that. But I was always the type of person to go, you know, try to think outside the box and you know, see what else is out there. And I kind of came to the realization that I didn't want to fast forward 30 years and still be working for the same company. And, you know, doing uninspiring work and just kind of, you know, working for a paycheck, working for somebody else. Because the company I actually worked for, it's a big company. I won't name it, but it's a pretty big company. And just like many companies, they go through restructurings, right? They go through mergers. They go through all these crazy things that if you're just an employee in these companies, you don't have that control over your future and your job. So what happened was over the span of my time being there, I seen a lot of really great people lose their jobs, you know, due to restructuring and just, you know, they work there all their life and all of a sudden they just get the pink slip saying, see you later, because your, you know, position's been eliminated. So I kind of seen that over and over again and realized, you know, I didn't want to be a casualty, you know, and I understand that a lot of these businesses have to do what they have to do to survive, right?
Yeah,
like absolutely. It's part of the deal. Like people get mad when companies let go of people, but it's not always their control. Like if they don't do that, then they just cease to exist. So kind of fast forwarding, I kind of seen the writing on the wall that my company was going through another merger, and it was just like, all right, something's going to happen here, and I don't want to be waiting on the sidelines to see what's going to happen.
Right.
So oddly enough, I was on Amazon, and I kept seeing the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, Tim Ferriss, right? And we've talked about this, and everybody knows the book. And I kept seeing it. I didn't even know who Tim Ferriss was. I had no idea about any of this stuff. And over the span of maybe 6 months, every time I would log on to Amazon, that freaking book would like be there, the ebook or whatever. And I didn't read a lot of books at the time. So I naturally wouldn't just be clicking, looking at books. So finally, there was just a time where I log on to Amazon and I see that book and I clicked on it. Finally, I'm like, God damn it. Like, I have to see what this thing is. Why does this keep, you know, it keeps staring at me, right? So I click on 4-Hour Workweek and I look at it and I'm like, you know what? I'll take a chance on this. I don't know who the heck this guy is, but I keep seeing this book and I think it was like meant for me, right? Like it was just, I was designed to run across it. The universe aligned, you know, the stars aligned. So fast forwarding, I end up reading this book and my mind is blown, right? I'm like, wow, I had no idea that people lived like this. And I had no idea that people can create online businesses and quit their 9-to-5. So it was really resonating with me, considering what I was going through with my employer. And decided to take some action. So shortly thereafter, I had this brilliant idea. I was like, you know, I'm going to write a book. I thought that would be like a cool,
sure,
like bucket list thing to do. So I start Googling like how to publish or write a book, not knowing anything about making money online, anything about whatever. And lo and behold, all of a sudden I get hit with Amazon Kindle. And this is like 3 years ago, right? So for some of the people listening that are just getting into it, you know, Kindle's been around quite a while now already. And, you know, I had no idea what even Kindle was. And all of a sudden, one thing led to another, and I'm buying this course, right? So I buy this course in Kindle. I'm like, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? So I just decided to take action. And I end up publishing my first book. And this is quite some time ago. And then I started making money from it. And I just said to myself, you know what? I think all this was meant to be. Like, I was meant to buy, you know, find this 4-hour work week book. I was meant to be inspired by it. I was meant to, like, all of a sudden land on this Kindle stuff, which, again, I didn't know anything about making money online. Had not a clue, right? There was no way. I was searching for that, and I just found it. And I decided to take a chance, and I think I published like 2 or 3 books. This is, again, a couple of years ago. And I just said to myself, you know what? Let's take a chance here. Let's quit my job that people would say, oh, you're crazy for quitting. Like, you make pretty good money. Why would you do that? And, you know, I guess since then, it's just been kind of a whirlwind. It's been crazy. I decided just to kind of take a leap of faith, quit my job, and start learning about, you know, making money online and, you know, starting online businesses and things like that. And I'd never look back. I mean, it was probably one of the best decisions ever made in my life. So fast forward, you know, 2 or 3 years and a lot of crazy stuff later. And, you know, here I am.
I love it. And on that point, Nick, I just want to quickly mention that, you know, you took quite a few leap of faiths. What aspect did the social community around you and your social circle play on not only the fear of leaving, but then the later success? Like, you know, we work online and it can be very difficult, as you know, we're alone. I mean, I'm in my house right now, working. I don't have the community of, you know, going to the break room and having a coffee with a friend, you know, and I know it can be difficult, and this seems to be a challenge that comes up often. Do you want to just speak a little bit about kind of your social circle and how it manifested success in your life?
Well, I guess prior, I mean, are you talking about like the online social circle or?
Yeah, like mastermind groups and community and courses.
Okay, yeah. So when I first started doing Kindle, it was just me, right? Like, I was just solo, boom, 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 boom. And I'll tell people in real life, not online, you know, like what I was doing, and they're kind of looking at me like, dude, are you all right? Like, what's wrong with you? Yeah. What are you doing? And then, you know, I had some kind of early success with Kindle, which kind of, you know, got me really fired up to keep going. But then I hit a rut, right? And it was just me. And I'm, you know, every day, like, you're just grinding away trying to learn. And the funny thing was, I said to myself, geez, I need to get around people that are doing what I'm doing and actually start conversing with them. Because I was just like, that's got to be important. A, it was freaking boring just being by yourself all the day while all your friends and family were working at regular jobs. So oddly enough, I heard about these mastermind groups. I didn't even know what they were at the time. And I was literally Googling something about like finding a mastermind or something like that, like in Google. And this is no BS. So I'm like Googling it. And at that very same time, as I'm entering it into Google, I get a Facebook message from somebody that I guess I had talked to about Kindle like a while back, which we, you know, had a brief conversation. I didn't remember who this guy was. And, he just says, dude, you know, we're looking at forming this mastermind group for Kindle. Are you interested? And I'm like, get out of here. And I was like, that's too random. And I told him, I said, dude, I'm in. Like, no matter even what you say, like, I didn't remember who he was, but I looked back at our past messages. And, you know, so that was kind of my springboard into this mastermind group for Kindle, I guess primarily Kindle.
Yep.
And at the time with making money with Kindle and making money online, like, I was kind of running kind of flat. Like, my earnings were kind of dipping a little bit, and I was kind of a little frustrated. And I swear it was like within a couple of weeks or months of joining this mastermind and like being pretty dedicated to it, my income, I know this is going to sound BS or whatever, but my income just exploded. And for a lot of different reasons, because A, I was so inspired by other people that had the same vision as I did.
Yep.
And just being able to talk shop, talk strategy, share ideas with. I mean, man, I attribute my Kindle success that I had solely pretty much to joining a group of dedicated individuals in a mastermind group. I mean, had I not joined that, I might not actually even be here right now. I may be working a 9-to-5 still, yeah.
And it's so true. And this is why I've specifically reached out to certain people, and specifically within our mastermind group, as we've all grown together and kind of come out the other end, that, you know, 2-3 times income. And for people that can say, yo, that sounds like BS or hype. You know, I had Carla here on the channel. I've had you. Yeah. I've had Jason. I've had, you know, there's no secret why all of us are kind of at this level, because we all work together truthfully to just help each other and inspire each other to go to that next level. And as somebody got a big breakthrough, it just pulled all of us along. And I was a very similar rut when I met you guys. You know, I was making a certain income that I felt was safe and easy and no problem. And then I get into this group and you guys are crushing it, you know, twice my income level. And it, you know, because of the inspiration of my group, we all kind of grew as a family and it's amazing. So I just wanted to touch on that quickly, that every single one of us have gone through this phase of loneliness, especially on an online situation where, as you put it, the real world out there doesn't understand the way to operate, where we're building businesses that can scale and that we don't necessarily have to trade time for money. But it's through meeting like-minded people in this online world, this fake box world, if you want to call it that, that we can flourish. And there are people just like you out there that are going through the same struggle. So connect and compare notes and grow together, and you'll be amazed at what can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, just to touch on people in the actual world, you know, working the 9-to-5s, like my whole paradigm shifted 2 or 3 years ago, right? Like I read the 4-Hour Work Week. And I was always under the assumption, and I know a lot of people may be listening to this, kind of are still, but the vast majority of society, you're just kind of almost brainwashed. Like, this is the way things work. Like, you go work for, you know, you go to school, you get a degree, you work for an employer, right? Yeah. And you trade your time for money, right? Like, that's just what you do. And you try to work your way up the corporate ladder. It's just such a structure of society. And what I think that is happening now in the past maybe 5 or 10 years, the economy is changing, right? It's a digital economy that we're shifting towards. And people's paradigms, unfortunately, are still in the old mindset, but slowly with these digital entrepreneurs and your audience and everybody listening, you know, people are seeing that it's real. They're seeing that it's actually happening, where, you know, you don't have to prescribe to that mindset, that old mindset that that society wants you to fall into. And there are people out there, such as you or I, or people listening to this, people in our mastermind groups are such amazing people that do think differently, and they're starting to understand this digital entrepreneurship and online economy that is that's out there. And you know, you can definitely get inspired by, you know, talking to other people. Like, if we're just talking now, or get involved in a mastermind group. So if you're out there and you're listening to this, just get involved and start talking to other people. You're just going to get so excited with what's possible to create passion-based businesses, to, you know, leave your 9-to-5 if that's something that you desire to do. But I do know people that I talk to about what I do and in the real world here. And they're totally content with that. They're totally content with working a regular job because of that community aspect. You mentioned the break room, right? Well, I know plenty of people that love that camaraderie at the workplace, where they don't really, I mean, they care about how much money they get paid, but it's about the relationships that, sure, they create at these jobs, right? That are lifelong relationships. And we have all had that if you've had a regular job. And it's a little bit different and a little bit trickier in the online space, right? Because, you know, you don't have that person physically there by you all the time. You know, we're talking through Skype, or we're talking through Facebook, or whatever it might be. So, you know, there's plenty of people out there that are looking to connect and just share their ideas. And then you can bounce ideas and get so inspired from people.
I love it. And it's a great segue into kind of I think we can give a ton of value for people, because, you know, I quit cold turkey because for me, I found it very difficult to both work my corporate job and start a business. So I didn't have a whole lot of, I wouldn't say responsibility, but you know, I don't have a kid. I didn't have a crazy mortgage. I was fairly flexible. So I went head first. But for those people that don't have a lot of experience and are, you know, they've got their 9-to-5, they've got their security blanket, but they want to break out there, but they don't want to do these crazy businesses that are going to take them, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to build. what's kind of your advice? And for those of you, to give you a bit of color, now I've done Kindle. You know, I grew a great business. I've been serving the community through my software company. I'm personally staying on the digital world, and for me, I like the flexibility of me being able to create my content and my products, and I feel like it's a great gateway. But I also want you guys to realize that there's 100 other ways to make money online, and it's not necessarily creating courses or doing online coaching or putting on live webinars. And the reason why that Nick is really here is that he's kind of taken it the next level and really staying on the cutting edge of product creation on the Amazon platform. And Nick, I really feel like you're in a perfect situation to really tell people that, you know, you don't need a ton of experience or money or time to even get started. And I figured it'd be a great way for you to maybe touch on that, you know, I'm working my 9 to 5. I've got 2 hours a week to work, or sorry, 2 hours a day to work on my business with limited funds. What great opportunities are there, and why Amazon?
Okay, so that's an awesome question, and I'll kind of elaborate on what'll make most sense for people listening.
Sure.
I remember like 2 or 3 years even when I got into Amazon, or just even from the Kindle front, you would hear people say, "Oh, it's too saturated."
Right.
You know, from the Kindle or the physical product market, you always hear that. So first and foremost, if you're hearing that, don't listen to that. Reason why I bring that up, I decided a while back, like I wanted to break away from Kindle, and I make money in various ways. You know, Kindle is still one of them. I do affiliate marketing. I do other things. I've tried to, you know, test different things out. And one of the things I decided was, you know, I did a lot of research on Amazon in general, as far as their market share, like just e-commerce and the whole nine yards. And I wanted to think big picture, and I wanted to think the vision of long-term, you know, 5 years down the road, if not more. And one of the things that I realized about Amazon is that they are growing so big and so fast year after year after year, that I would be foolish if I did not tap more into this Amazon thing, right? If sure. I did not, I don't want to say milk it for all it's worth, but essentially attach my caboose to it, right? Anybody that says, "Oh, you know, this is too saturated." Well, the way I see it, Amazon is growing so fast that it's outpacing the amount of people that are actually getting in to sell like Kindle or their physical products or whatever. So it gave me a lot of a certainty going forward that Amazon is committed. They have the resources behind things. And again, I would be foolish not to double down and, you know, still do Kindle, but get into making money in various other ways on Amazon. And then for me, that's through physical products, right?
Right.
And, you know, we can talk about other ways too that, you know, you can make money outside of Kindle, but still on Amazon. And I don't know if you want to talk about that now, or if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's great. And on that note, I also wanted to mention that the real power of Amazon is their infrastructure. You know, I had a physical product business selling incense and incense holders. And we've laughed about this before. I was literally storing stuff in my closet,
right,
and hand shipping this stuff out. And my margins were tiny, and I didn't even know that FBA existed. And we can talk about that, you know, in a second. But, you know, I know a lot of people are scared about, okay, how do I get payment processing? How do I ship? How do I even get a product online? Like, how do I even get it on a website? How do I find customers? All these problems to even get a business started. And the beauty with Amazon is that the infrastructure is there.
Yeah, and they're only expanding their infrastructure and logistics as well. So they have a lot of exciting things coming up that are making things as easy as possible for people like you or I, like the average seller, right? They're making things so, I don't want to say so simple, but they're definitely trying to make it very user-friendly for, yeah, if you have a business, so you're selling your incense, you know, to get them on Amazon and to have somebody handle the distribution, have somebody handle the shipping, the packing, the customer service. So FBA, if you're not familiar, means fulfillment by Amazon. And essentially what that means for people listening to this is that Amazon is a massive online traffic source. So everybody goes to Amazon to buy various things, let's say a physical product. And if I am a seller of that product, as an example, or incense in your case, or whatever that might be, I can use Amazon to put a listing up. And if somebody buys from that listing that I create, Amazon will handle the rest, like literally the rest. They store your inventory. They have people there. Obviously, every time an order goes through, they pack it up, they ship it out. If a customer has an issue for return, Amazon deals with the returns. Right. I mean, it's just like they're trying to set people up for success and businesses up for success. And they have a lot of really great things that they offer for their sellers. And in the very new future, I mean, they're doubling down. Like Amazon right now, they're buying jets, like for like transportation of, sure. You know, goods and things like that. They're doubling down on logistics to kind of rival UPS and DHL. I mean, they're committed to creating a absolute winning environment, not just for sellers, but ultimately it's all about the consumer for Amazon, right? So they're trying to, you know, not only get things shipped to you immediately, you know, quick, as soon as you order it, you know, sometimes I think it was with their Prime delivery, they do it an hour or two now, hour or two delivery, which is just, you know, it's bonkers.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So Amazon is like, they're invested, right? So they have the infrastructure there and they're just making it better each and every year. So if you're somebody out there that's just like, I don't even know where to begin. Well, I just kind of throw this out there to you. There's a lot of people that I know that I talk to in the game that still work a regular 9-to-5 job and they have a family, they have kids, whatever that might be, whether that's you or not, there's, you know, time that they allocate each and every day for a lot of the resources out there to learn this stuff, right? Amazon does provide some training, but at the same time, there's a lot of podcasts out there. I have a podcast as an example, but there's a lot of podcasts, there's a lot of videos that you can get started just kind of, you know, learning an hour a day and then start to slowly take action so that if you launched, let's say, a product after a while, like, and you decided you want to make a go of it, then that might be something down the road where you look at going, okay, I'm just going to leave my regular 9-to-5 because this is working out. But it's just about being committed to it. There's so many resources out there, which we can talk about as far as like, you know, how do you start? Where do you start? How do you understand what you're supposed to do? I mean, there's a lot of different things that people get confused by, and I can kind of walk people through that in a little bit.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Let's maybe pull the curtain back because I think we both agree that Amazon is a fantastic start for distribution where you've got the infrastructure. But okay, great. I'm an insurance agent or I'm a school teacher and I'm sitting on my break right now listening to this. And I'm committed to tonight. Let's get some action. Let's get something going. Where do I even start with limited experience? What opportunities are even on Amazon?
Okay, so here's the cool thing. I'm gonna give you guys the audience, people listening to this, a couple actionable things that they can do like today or this weekend or this week or whatever you're listening to this. So if you actually go on Amazon.com, go on that main homepage there, and you scroll down to the bottom. There are a lot of hyperlinks down there that I guarantee you 99.9% of people have never even looked at.
Sure.
And one of them is called Sell on Amazon, right? And Amazon lists out all of these different opportunities that you can click on and understand and learn, like how you can sell your product or whether that's Kindle, whether that's your product, or so many other things that people have no idea about. And they can use Amazon's platform, which has all the traffic that converts. Mm-hmm. And the power of Amazon behind it. And they can literally start in a lot of these things with zero to no money. And one of the things I'll recommend to people, so like if you're that person, you're that insurance salesman or whatever, and you're just on a very limited budget or you have no money at all, or you just, you know, don't really want to put a lot of skin in the game right now because you have so much going on, but you want something that's actionable that you can create your first dollar online. That's often, as we know, the hardest thing, right? Yeah. Just getting that first dollar.
Yeah.
What you can do is type this in Google too. I would just go to Google and type in merch by Amazon.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're sitting there, type in merch by Amazon and pull it up on Amazon's page. And not a lot of people know about this. A lot of people know about Kindle that are listening to this. But the reason why I love merch by Amazon, because it literally requires $0 and almost zero experience. It's what it is it's a t-shirt print on demand service. So that, let's say I had a idea for a t-shirt, I could use this merch by Amazon platform, and they make it, you know, pretty straightforward that you upload your t-shirt design to it. And what Amazon does then is they go and do their work, and you can have these designs put on t-shirts, and then it gets put on Amazon's website. So if somebody buys one of those t-shirts that had your design on it, guess what? You get paid money.
Wow.
Like you get a pretty good commission. The beauty of it is you don't have to deal with t-shirt inventory. You don't have to deal with customer issues, nothing. Like Amazon's got the traffic and you're just uploading t-shirt designs that, you know, you could do yourself. And then again, they have the templates there. They have everything set up for you, right? So it's, the beauty of it is it's a very low commitment, right? You just put a few designs up there. Yeah. You don't have to be the most creative person in the world, but it can be kind of fun. And you can make your first dollar online within the matter of days, like just uploading a shirt, somebody buys it, guess what? You get money. So that should give people confidence to go, I can make my first dollar online simply by doing this. I mean, it's beautiful.
And it's so true, because I, you know, as we decide to start coaching people into this lifestyle, that first dollar is sometimes the hardest, where they need this confirmation, like this is real, this is possible, I can do it. And they work up this huge, like, oh my God, I've got to think about all these ideas and I've got to get a product to market. But this is amazing. Like from what you're saying, within a 48-hour span, you know, you can create something. And more importantly, you're now learning the skills of an entrepreneur without putting any skin in the game. You're learning product creation. You're learning, you know, how to check out your competitors. You're learning, like, what do my customers want? Like, these are all amazing skills as an entrepreneur you need anyways, without having to spend thousands and thousands to get started. So it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, is I have a website, privatelabelershow.com, where I teach people about private labeling. Sure. And one of the common things is that I hear from people, if they'll just message me or whatever, is they'll say, you know, I totally want to create an awesome brand and do all these things like you're doing, quit your job and all that stuff. But literally I have no money. Like I'm scraping by to pay bills, but I have this dream and this vision, right? And they're just looking for income at this point. And again, to make that first dollar to show them that it's possible. This is usually something I tell my people in my audience to go, look, check out Merch by Amazon. You'll be surprised that you can make money that you could use then, not only to pay your bills, but you can use then to fund your future products or your brand that you could build with private labeling and things like that with Amazon FBA. So you can just use it as like a nest egg where you use it to buy that inventory. So yeah, definitely check it out, guys. So if you want to, it's a process though. So like if you actually were to go to that site, you have to apply to get into it. So okay. I just want to be transparent on that. I don't know how long Amazon's going to technically take, because it might be a week, it might be 2 weeks, it might be more. There's a quicker route. Like if you apply and find that you're waiting too long, what I would suggest that people do is there's a Facebook group dedicated just to this. So if you look up at the Facebook groups, type in, I think it's called Merch by Amazon on Facebook.
Okay.
And again, that's a community of people sharing ideas about t-shirt designs and stuff like that. So you definitely want to get involved in it. There's about 5,000 people in there. They're very active. But what you can do to speed up the process of your application to get into this is the admin in that group, I forget his name, but if you send him a message asking him to try to push it forward for you, he's got some contacts, I believe, at Amazon where he'll actually get you approved faster. Because when I applied, I got approved within 24 hours. Wow. And that was simply by like telling him, hey, help me out here. And then if you don't do that, it could take a few weeks. So if you want to start making money quicker, join that Facebook group. Find the admin of that group and just say, hey, how do I get approved quicker? Hopefully he can push you through a lot faster. So a little bit of a tip there for you.
Nick's tip for Monday here. Love it.
Yeah. So, that's idea number one. And if you want to keep rolling on.
Yeah, let's keep ideas, rolling on them. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other idea I got for you guys, let's say you do want to start, again, that private label brand, but you just lack the confidence.
What is private labeling, Nick?
Okay. So private labeling, it's essentially creating you have products on Amazon. This isn't just Amazon, but you have a product that you can buy in, let's say, India or China or whatever. Sure. Factories. Could be the United States. It could be anywhere. What you're doing is you're taking a product that somebody produces, and you can modify it, you can change it, you can create it any way you want. But what you're doing is you're labeling it with your brand, right? So like Sony or Nike or whatever, that's a brand.
Right.
People don't really realize it, but you can create your own brand. You could trademark it. You can do all that. I mean, it's not real complicated to do all that stuff, but you can have a private label brand that you sell then on sites like Amazon or your own website.
So I can create like a comb, for an example, or like a hairbrush or something with my name on it?
You absolutely could. And you can turn it into a real brand, have your label and your logo and your design on it. And yeah, you can work with suppliers and factories. I mean, they'll, you know, help you create these products, and, you know, for marketing purposes, you can brand it to whatever you want, just like the big boys do. So people, a little bit surprised by that you don't have to be some major Fortune 500 mega brand. You can be a small guy or, you know, somebody that's just getting started and literally create their passion brand from scratch.
Sick. Awesome. So yeah, absolutely. Go on about the whole FBA on the platform, just so now people kind of know what FBA is.
Yeah. So here's another idea for you guys. So, if you try the t-shirt thing, cool. If you make some extra money with that, awesome. The other thing I would recommend that people look into doing if they don't want to start their own private label brand at this point, or again, if they're looking to build some capital up so that they can afford it to invest.
Yep.
What I'd recommend that you do is look into reselling on Amazon. So as an example, if you go to if you go to Walmart or if you go to virtually any store, right, they have clearance sections.
Sure.
And let's say if you went to Walmart, you went to their toys section, you went to the clearance section, you might find some killer deals, right? So I used to work in retail, and I know from time to time, like sometimes the companies mark down really good stuff down to almost pennies on the dollar just to get it out of the store, right? Just to get it off the shelf, and they'll take a huge loss on it. So a lot of retailers do that. It's business. And what you can do is look for these deals. So they call this essentially kind of retail arbitrage in a way or whatever, kind of a couple different names, but you can find some products that, you know, in the back of your mind, like, wow, this goes for $50 as an example. It sells for $50 on Amazon. You might be able to find some of these items at stores marked down to like $5 or $10. And the only thing that you do is you buy these items. Let's say they have five in stock and that's clearance and they're just trying to get rid of them. So let's just say you buy the rest of them, knowing full well that you could flip it almost and put it on Amazon and make a big profit, right?
Right.
So people can do that, and they don't need to create their own listings. They don't need to do anything other than have an account on Amazon, and they send these items in and they just put it under the listing that already exists by that company, and somebody buys it and Amazon takes care of the delivery and the shipping and all that, and it's foolproof. I mean, and then they collect, so they take the profit on there.
It's a paid scavenger hunt. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. So again, if you're in that store, just keep your eyes open. You might find deals, especially electronics and stuff like that. Some of those high ticket items you might find like killer deals on. And again, that does require money. Obviously you do have to buy that stuff, but it's a very low investment and low risk. I mean, it's going to sell if you put it on Amazon, and just about everything sells on there.
Yeah.
But that's something actionable that somebody can do and make, you know, an extra $50, $100, $200, a couple hundred dollars at a crack on that they can use to gain confidence and to fund into a private label business.
And the beauty, as you said here, is it's almost a no lose situation. Literally, you can pull up your iPhone or Android or BlackBerry, whatever device you have, be at the store, see what the listing is on Amazon, and if it says it's $40 and I've got it in my hand for $5, you know you've got a guarantee minimum $25 that you just basically found sitting here on the ground. And the key factor is this confidence and this action taking that you can have no money and turn it into something. But once the switch of him an entrepreneur hits, now these are where these opportunities start hitting you. Like, I'm just thinking, how many times have I gone into stores looking for, you know, whatever I'm there looking to buy, but how many dollars did I miss not going to the clearance section for 5 minutes and then just ripping it onto Amazon?
Yeah, actually Amazon's got an app for sellers and it's really addicting, but like it's got a little scanning thing on it. So you can just go to stores with their app and scan it, and it gives you all the data right there. And it just, they make it easy for you because they want traffic, and they want sales, and they want customers, and they're just trying to give you the tools to do that. So you can download, I forget what the app is called. Just go to your app store, and it's just like an Amazon FBA or selling app or something like that. Just put it on your phone and go to town, go to Walmart and start scanning.
I love it. So that's great, Nick. I mean, we hit what, three basic ideas there. I mean, four, if you want to consider Kindle, where the opportunity is, look, in 48 hours, you can have an idea to book, to market, selling tomorrow. You know, we got merch. We talked about reselling a bit. Well, I think we're going to dive in a little bit further on the private labeling, because, you know, I know there are some people in here that, okay, great. You know, I can make a couple hundred dollars a week or an extra $2,000 a month, and it's not going to change my life. you know, where, you know, for whatever reason, this $8,400 a month, you know, 100K a year business message seems to be that holy grail for most people, where, okay, if I can make 100 grand online, I can quit my job. So let's dive in and let's talk some shop on why you decided to move away from Kindle, and not move away from Kindle, but, you know, maintain your Kindle business, but move your focus into private labeling. I want to definitely talk about brand development a little bit and playing the long game, because I think it's critical for people to hear this, that no matter what business you're going into, let's play the long game. Let's be here in 10 years. Let's create something we're passionate to work behind and not just sell some shit for the sake of selling it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And speaking of the Kindle, just to be transparent to the audience, I still do Kindle and I still make a ton of money from it.
Yeah.
But the beauty of online businesses is the ability to automate and outsource. And I personally haven't really touched Kindle in darn near almost a year.
I have to say something about this in a second, but go on.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys are out there, you're probably a lot of Kindle people listening, the power of virtual assistants and training people and things like that, where I can be very hands-off and focused on things that I care a little bit more about while still making a killing, you know, off of Kindle and things like that. So I'm just letting you guys know that if you are in Kindle right now, if you're really loving it, great, stick with it. But if it's something that's giving you, you know, some income, but you don't have to, or but you don't love doing it, you can easily automate things and outsource, and then take some of your Kindle cash, like I was doing, to invest into product for private label and things like that. So that's my play.
I love it. So today, for those of you listening later, is March 14th, 2016. And I think a few days ago, there was a big, excuse my French here, but shitstorm of emails being sent to people that were gaming the system. And I won't get into the long details, but, you know, they were making 30,000 page books and creating hyperlink table of contents to game the pages read. And, you know, the reason why that I've really had an affinity for Nick is it came down to one thing. He built brands, and him himself has just said within a year, he's barely touched his business. Similar to me, I'll be honest, I stopped publishing as in content creation a year ago, and money is still coming in. And the only deciding factor is because we built brands that help people, brands that add value, and the market's showing. You know what? People have made more money, people have laid less money, but 3 years from now, I'm still going to be making money on my Kindle books. Whereas this kind of, oh, I'm going to game the market and I'm going to find this loophole, it's not a sustainable business. And Nick, like, what's your thoughts on that kind of thing there?
Yeah, I understood that very early on. Within addition, the first thing I learned in internet marketing or whatever was build an email list. You know, yeah. I'll keep saying that, build an audience. But speaking specifically of the loopholes of Kindle, just with anything, there's going to be loopholes, right? Like Amazon is doing different things specifically that allow for loopholes, and, you know, marketers go in there and they exploit loopholes, and, you know, go ahead. Absolutely. I'm not going to tell anybody not to do what you want to do. It's your prerogative. But I always understood early on, and I would talk to other people, and I think including you, about this quite a bit, where you can play for those loopholes during the time being and exploit it as much as you want and do what you want. But ultimately, you have to understand that loopholes close, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is when a loophole closes, sometimes new ones don't open for a while or at all. And sometimes they get completely closed. And people at the end of the day that see the big picture understand that you don't want to rely on loopholes for your business or your income online. The famous Google slap of what, I don't know what year that was. Yeah. I mean, that, everybody's heard that story. But with Kindle, my thought process is, and it always has been, it was a stepping stone for me. And if people are out there just dancing in those loopholes and expecting those loopholes to remain open, you really have to open your eyes and go, this is not sustainable long term. And I would advise you, and this is all in your interest and depends upon what your goals are, if you want to stay in the game, it's, to my knowledge and everything I've ever learned, it's all about developing a brand or developing an audience for the big picture. I'm always thinking 5 and 10 years down the road. Yeah. While everybody's dancing in these Kindle loopholes, making, I see some people making some ridiculous money. I mean, I'm just, wow, like crazy amount of money, which is awesome, right? Like that's super cool. And it's life changing. But ultimately, in my opinion, I'm always just kind of like, all right, what's sustainable?
Yeah.
And what's 5 years down the road? Is that loophole going to be there in 5 years? I don't think so. You know what I mean? So to me, it's creating a brand, creating something you're passionate about. I think far too often, like people like with Kindle, they put out all these books that they don't have any interest in. And then they get sick of it because they're just like, ugh, I don't even like looking at apple cider vinegar books ever again, or whatever it is, right? You know, and then they just kind of treat it as something that they have to do, not versus something that they want to do. And then it's like you're better off just going back to your regular job then. Yeah. So that's just kind of my stance on it. So I always encourage people, especially in the private label game, make products or develop products that you can build a brand around, something that you care about. And that you're going to care about 5 and 10 years down the road, something with meaning and something that you actually care about your customer, like a niche that you actually care about your customers in.
I love it. So let's talk scalability. I mean, it's no secret on my end. I'm looking at what my million-dollar businesses will be, and I've got all intentions, and not because of the money, but because of the impact that I have to create for a million-dollar business. And you know, I know a lot of people on this channel. They're just as hungry and motivated and ambitious. So let's talk some serious shop here now. Like what entails an FBA business? Sorry, private labeling business. Why should I even invest my time when I've got other things on the go? And where's the limit with one of these private label businesses?
So, geez, there really is no limit. I mean, like I talked earlier about how fast Amazon is growing in their own rights.
Sure.
The concept is similar to Kindle, where once you put a book up and you understand the framework, like how it worked, the process. It's the same idea of like, I can launch a product, gain success from that and go, okay, I could keep doing this again and again and again and again, and just replicating everything I did. And, you know, I know a lot of people in the private label space, what they'll do is they put products like a shotgun approach, right? They put them all over the board and they don't care. I advise against that. I'm all about come out with a product that you care about and create a true brand around that. So whatever that is, I talk a lot on my podcast about, as an example, I give the idea of like, if you're really into grilling as an example,
okay, great.
A lot of people are like, they love grilling. It's like a passion for a lot of people. I tell people, I say, look, you know, you can, from these little things like grilling accessories, things that sell on Amazon, things that you use every day, you can create your own brand, right? So fill in the name of whatever brand you want. And, you know, not just with one product, once you have success with that, you can find out what else is related to those grilling accessories or whatever it may be, and literally come up with an entire brand, an entire line of products that you can sell and do well with on Amazon. And again, Amazon's just blowing up. So I know people that, you know, they have 5 or 10 products. Maybe it took them a year to do that, to get to that level or less, who knows. But you know, the revenues that some of these people are bringing in are just jaw dropping.
And let's hear them. Like let's get some tangible numbers. Like what have you seen? I won't say the average person because we're not about being average. But like what can I expect if I you know, market intelligently and serve people and create a brand? Like what does a 5-product suite look like potentially in terms of revenues?
So it's a little bit tricky to answer that in a broad stroke, because a lot of times when people talk about their revenues, it's not factoring in total. It's not the bottom line profit, right? Because there's a lot that goes into that. But I know plenty of people that with just even 5 products are making well over, profit wise, well over 6 figures a year. I mean, well over.
Yeah.
Everything is variant on the niche. Everything is variant on a lot of different things. But it is extremely realistic to have, you know, 5 or 6 products, you know, 5 to 10, and be making well over 6 figures at the end of the day, enough to quit your job, so on and so forth, and do the things you want to do in life, travel, whatever it might be, explore your hobbies and passions and things like that. But I do also know people playing at such a, like, we're talking like next level, where they're bringing in $200,000-$400,000 a month in revenue, you know, off of their product line. And they, guess what? They just keep adding to it,
right?
You know, 'cause they just keep scaling and going and going. And then ultimately they take this Amazon business that they've developed a huge email list and an audience and a following, and they might take their business offline then too and put it on, you know, their own platform and their own website. And then ultimately what a lot of these guys do, it's kind of the big picture thing, is they might actually sell and cash out on this business.
Right.
So, you know, they stick 2 or 3 years of really hard work into it and sell it off as a brand, you know, a brand to another company that wants to take advantage of that. And the payday is there. I mean, I see people doing that all the time. They'll put a bunch of work into their Amazon private label business and then they sell it and they cash out and who knows, maybe start up another one, right? Or do something else.
Well, the beauty of this business is the infinite scalability. And I've talked a lot about, okay, making front-end money and back-end money. Front-end, let's say on Kindle, where I'm selling a $2.99 product. Well, by the time you factor in your commissions, you're selling a $2 commission product. And people that are making decent money, they've got 150 or 200 bucks in a niche that we start really bringing in some decent income. But the beauty of what you're saying here is that I can sell a $300 product if I package it properly. And, of course there's margins and there's other things, but as I develop as an entrepreneur, I'm into now, like, how do I sell real estate? Yesterday, I just got off of a business meeting on how to sell $120,000 Mastercraft boats, because I've also understood that I want to start selling higher ticket products because the effort is very similar. So the beauty of what you're saying is that once you've created this like hook in the marketplace, your brand, whether it's the Grill It brand or whatever, and you serve customers, you can now scale infinitely, really.
Yeah. I mean, most people start off too by selling on Amazon.com, like the US platform.
Yeah.
But they fail to realize that Amazon is growing immensely in Europe or in, let's say, Japan or Canada or wherever, fill in the blank, right? There's all these different emerging markets too as Amazon grows. So, I mean, it's like literally just scratching the surface. And then, even outside of Amazon, bringing your own products to a Shopify site and developing a whole strategy around that. I mean, it's insane, like the possibilities out there. And the beauty of selling on Amazon, so this might not mean a lot to the average person listening, but the average conversion rates on Amazon for products is like, I think the last statistic I heard was like 12%.
Wow. Okay.
So here's the average conversion rate of somebody just selling on a random Joe Blow website. It's like 1-2%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So think about that for a second. People are on Amazon to buy, the credit cards are on file. And it's a heavily shot platform that everybody knows.
And it's so trusted.
Yeah, it's absolutely trusted. I mean, they're changing the game. So I talk a lot about that in my podcast just to reassure people, like, look, you're on a platform that's here for the long term and it's trusted and people love it. I know I love it. I mean, I'm like a Prime addict. Like,
yeah.
Dude, I order so much stuff from Prime and it's just like, it's such a game changer for me as a customer. And I throw out like crazy stats, like Prime members. You guys have Prime in Canada?
We do, yeah. We do have Prime.
So the average Prime member, check this out. This is kind of a cool stat. The average Prime member spends on average per year $1,500. I think it's like almost $1,600. That's what they spend on Amazon.
Wow.
Just on that one site. It's amazing, just from that one platform. And then if you don't have Prime, I think they spend like $600 or something like that. That's just on Amazon. So Amazon's got the lion's share of e-commerce right now. And I just keep kind of telling people, like, this is the boat, like, get on this, right?
Right. And it's funny, even for me, as I still grow my business, I'm looking at physical products. And this is maybe an interesting shoe into this question. And I don't think we even talked about this prior. So I've got a level of success in my life. I've got only so much time in my day. But as I look to grow my life, lifestyle is very important for me. And I'm looking to represent products in my life that I want to be able to go to my buddy's house and be like, hey, check out this new product that I just created that applies to my life. So let's talk a little bit more technical. Say, I'm getting into boating and let's say, I don't know, skiing or something, water skiing. Now, I don't even know too much about it. I'm not sure what your knowledge is. How would you mentally approach this market? If you were to sell me on, okay, why I should get onto into private labeling, where should I start? Should I be looking at the $5,000 wetsuit or should I be looking at like a tiny product to learn the process? Like, what would your advice to me as wanting to create a lifestyle brand that I'm proud of?
Yeah, that's an awesome question.
What kind of the steps that you would take?
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, a lot of times, in fact, I was just talking to somebody today, and this isn't about water skiing necessarily, but it's the same concept. I was just talking to somebody we know today and they jumped into private labeling.
Sure.
Okay. And they've done Kindle, they've done all these other things. And I said to this person, I said, so how, what made you get started? And what was your process? And literally their process was they were thinking about what they were passionate about first and foremost. And from there, they were literally looking around their house and looking around their kitchen.
Interesting.
At products that they bought and that they use involved with that passion. Right. And decided that would be cool for me to look into this to see, would this fly on Amazon? Right. And lo and behold, that's how they led to their first product. It was just looking in their kitchen going, I could do that. And that's something I'm into. Like, that's passion-based. So if you're talking about like water skiing, well, there's certain things to consider for selling on Amazon, like for private labeling and things like that. Okay. One of those things is definitely size considerations. Okay. So you're talking about, you know, what a lot of courses teach and what a lot of people preach early on is you want to find items that are a little bit smaller, something that would fit in like a shoebox, right? Like realistically, because you're dealing with shipping at this point. And if you're, you know, having your merchandise made in another country, shipping is a huge factor and that costs a lot of money. So you want to have items that are somewhat lightweight.
Sure.
And you want to have items that, so like 2 pounds or less is the kind of the common bullet point of like how much your item should weigh.
So I could even throw out here and say GoPro mounts. Like, I'm just thinking what's small that I use. Like, maybe yeah. I want to film myself on the water now. So would that be kind of something you would consider?
Yeah, absolutely. Cause that's small. And it's something within that market that people would want and use. And the other thing to consider too is you really don't want to have, like, you can do this later on as you get more experience, but you don't want to have items that are super complex where they have like glass and or like electronics and stuff like right. that. You can do that later. I know people that do, but you want to kind of keep things simple when you first start out. It's like a mount, for example, might be something that somebody considers. And what you can do then is you could simply kind of validate it. Like, once those bullet points that we just talked about are met, then you want to check demand on Amazon.
Okay.
And you're not really trying to reinvent the wheel. You're not trying to like create a market. Like, you just want to see what people are already searching for and buying. So there are tools to do that. Now, if you go to Amazon and type in, let's say that GoPro mounts or whatever, right? You can evaluate the market right on Amazon and see, okay, you know, without getting into too much detail, but you could see like the bestseller ranks for the items listed in there.
Right.
And you can kind of look, is anybody making money doing this? And there's tools that we use in the game that kind of give us this data a lot quicker that
right.
people can buy and use that I use, that gives you like, how many units are being sold by these people, you know, all these kind of charts and breakdowns that give you data fast that says pretty much yes demand or no demand. And if there's demand there, you can kind of go, okay, well, maybe I'm onto something here. Is there enough market, or is there enough of the market that I could jump into this too and kind of collect some of that pie, right?
Right.
So maybe there's only 5 sellers selling that GoPro mount or something unique to it. And they're making a killing. And it wouldn't hurt if a 6th seller got in and took a piece of that pie. So it's just a lot of it is just finding something you're passionate about. Something, you know, it doesn't even, I mean, it could be stuff that you use every day, but if you have a passion around boating or whatever it might be, just take a look at all the different things involved in that sport or that passion or that hobby. And literally just make a list, like just write down a list and go to town and just say it kind of, you know, put things through the filter of, okay, that's too huge. Like that's way too complex. And people can kind of come up with a list of products just like that, you know, like literally within the matter of an hour or two.
I love it. I know on my end and in our business in general. Okay. So product creation is there and it's a very technical process. If you guys are looking for more info, Nick's site will kind of help you out. I want to talk about marketing strategy a little bit because I see a lot of people struggling with this in any business. You know, okay, great. I went through the process. I've created my GoPro mount, but it kind of looks like my competitors and my other competitors. And it, you know, it might be better. It might be worse. Let's just say it's an even playing field. How do I stand out? How do I create this brand that actually takes off? Because you know, I can go buy cola at the local supermarket, but why do people consume other brands of cola when it can be identical? So can you maybe speak a little bit on that? Because I think that could be a sticking point for a lot of people.
Yeah, here's the beauty of Amazon. They give you a lot of data and they give you a lot of information and they give you reviews. So let's say I'm looking at whatever product that it is. In this case, let's say it's a GoPro mount. I can look at all of the reviews that real customers organically left on these products to find out what they loved about that product and also what they hated about it.
Right.
So if I can address the negatives, so let's just say all these products are all the same, right? They're just different packaging essentially,
yep.
You know, different brand names. You see that very often. But I see that all of these sellers are failing to address these negative reviews that customers are saying, you know, I love this, but I... What if it had this? if it did this, if it did that. And you can start to, a lot of times, just write down these concerns of people that legitimately bought the product, right? And you could find out what they loved and what they hated about it. And then ask yourself, could I do something similar but improve upon this product to stand out, to differentiate? And then market my product in my copy, in my packaging, whatever it may be,
right,
to point out these things that, look, I do these things. I have this. My product does this. And if it's something that the market is demanding, like people are screaming, like, God, I would totally give this a 5-star. I would buy this again and again. If only it had this, then I could look at that and go, could I have could I get the product made to address those concerns? And that's like the biggest thing right there to stand out, is just to address what Amazon already gives you. They already give you that data. It's just right in the form of customer reviews. So
it's so simple, and it comes back to just serving people. Like, ask your market what they want.
Yeah.
And then design a product to serve that, and you should be good. And it's beautiful. What about gathering traffic? You talked a little bit about Shopify, and I know we're running close to the hour here, but just quickly, you know, we're excited about Amazon. It's got distribution, but I want to have my own distribution as well. And I want to drive my own traffic. I don't want to just rely on Amazon. And this, I've seen this as a problem with Kindle, where a lot of people, they create a product, they market it great, but a small change on Amazon, even if you're playing by the rules, and things can happen overnight where, okay, your business dries up, just like people did it on Google. How do I ensure that I have a business that if Amazon folds tomorrow for whatever reason, I'm sure they won't, but you know, if they decide that they're not going to sell in my country or something like that, what steps can I take to protect my brand so that I can then sell it down the road?
So you mentioned Shopify, and for everybody that doesn't really know, you've probably seen Shopify commercials or whatever, but that's just a platform if you want to sell your products that you can, it's kind of like almost like a made for you simple way of getting your products online, right, and being able to bring them to market. I have a Shopify site for my brand, and I do generate sales from just Shopify. And you can connect a blog to it, so you can produce content, and you can put your social media on there, the whole nine yards. And the beauty of Shopify is it actually connects with Amazon FBA. So right, if I sell something on my Shopify site, guess what? I don't have to ship it. I don't have to touch it. Amazon actually connects and takes care of it. So it's super cool. But you mentioned kind of protecting your brand that you're building. You know, Shopify or just any website is definitely, it's not required when you first start. So I think that scares people a lot of times because they go, oh, you mean I got to build a website now too and all this stuff. You don't have to, but it might be something that somebody considers down the road as they're developing their brand to go, yeah, I actually want to do this. Like I want to make this a full, like a real deal here. And they can bring it to sites like Shopify, and then you're building your own audience. You're building your own email list from it. Like right now, like for my Shopify site, like I have it connected to my social media. So I'm building my audience through like Instagram, through Facebook, you know, you could do it through Pinterest. Like you're kind of bringing everything into, you know, your Shopify page, but you have all these other social media realms to build your audience with. So that, let's just say Amazon kind of, you know, went belly up, which again, that's not going to happen. You would at least have a customer base that you can serve and sell your products through and still provide content through. And here's the kicker behind everything. Like if you're on Amazon and people like the Google thing. So if they see your product, what do they do a lot of times? They'll check the reviews on Amazon, but they'll go to Google and go, like they'll type in your brand name to see, are you even on
right
your own website? And that helps convert sales too, because people see that you're a legitimate company. It looks like you give a damn, like you got a website, you know? Yeah. So and it looks good. The Shopify sites look really good. So yeah, it can kind of work both ways, but yeah, that's really important for like the sustainable long-term growth, is you want to develop eventually like this vision of an outside of Amazon presence and not just rely on Amazon, even though you'd be just fine probably relying on Amazon. But if you want to take it to the next level, you know, Shopify or any like a WordPress site or any other sites like Wix or whatever would be awesome.
I love it. And it gives again for entrepreneurs in our stage or people that are just getting started, that you're not going to get pigeonholed. You know, you can create this brand and who knows, maybe you go to the local dollar store and end up being a supplier for them. And it's just cool that you're able to still have full control. But as you build your business, use Amazon's distribution channel for trust and to get customer base. So I love it, Nick. And it's good. And for people there that feel like they're stagnated right now and are looking for new opportunities, as much as I talk about shiny object syndrome, Amazon is not a shiny object syndrome. It's real and it's a real opportunity. but build real brands. It doesn't matter what industry you're going. If you notice, Nick didn't talk about, you know, find some weird market where there might be a pocket of money, because who knows, five other competitors come in next month and now you've lost your competitive edge. But by creating a brand that's real, and your customers will feel it. I mean, really the sky's unlimited, which is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the end, it's all about passion. It's all about brands. Even some of these people listening or watching this, if you had a brand in your Kindle outfit there, so you had a, you know, handful of books, just as an example, if you had a bunch of cooking books or recipe books and you were serious about it and you loved it, you know, why don't you take it to the next step then and create an actual brand pertaining to those books that you're selling physical products now through too, and really serve your customers on such a different level. And they're already on Amazon, right? So they already have that trust factor with you there. And that's just something that you can easily do and then cross market and promote and really just, you know, turn it into an awesome passion-based business that, you know, provides you a really great income.
I love it. And it's so true. It's just like connecting the dots the whole way. And again, if you decide to do that physical products, then you want to create training programs on how to cook vegan meals. Like, that's an opportunity. Like, this is what we're trying to inspire, is that as long as you find a passion, there's a zillion ways to distribute your message, whether it's teaching people how to lose weight with your Kindle books, whether it's giving them video tutorial recipes, whether it's outfitting their entire kitchen with bamboo utensils, which are healthy for you and healthy for your environment. That entire thread can go across your entire businesses as long as you've got kind of that glue, that passion. And that's what really I'm hoping that both Nick and I can inspire to you, is that just figure out what you want to serve and how you want to change this world and commit. I mean, you can make t-shirts, you can make recipe t-shirts for all you care. We talked about merch today. You could resell cookbooks because, you know, they're sitting at Walmart and they're never going to get used. But by bringing them to Amazon, somebody else is going to be able to get value from it. So Nick, thanks so much, brother. I mean, this is a wealth of information for an hour. Is there any closing words, and how can people find you?
They can find me specifically on privatelabelershow.com. Check that site out. I talk all about private labeling, all about Amazon. A lot of what we just talked about here, I really take it into depth. So if you're like, dude, I just want to get started on private labeling, show me. I do my best to kind of deliver as much value as I can to people, to walk them through the entire process and deliver as much value as I can. So jump on privatelabelershow.com. I also have a Facebook group there that's linked to. So join the Facebook group as well. That way you can start firing away questions if you have questions. And a lot of times when people put questions in the Facebook group, I'll talk about those specifically on the podcast that I do. So privatelabelershow.com is a podcast. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher, YouTube as well. So you can look that up however you want to. So really excited about that. Something I started in 2016, and my core message to that is I want to help 1,000 people in 2016. I want to help 1,000 people quit their job and start an online business. So that's kind of what my mission is and what I'm dedicated to doing, and helping people as best as possible to achieve kind of their passions and their dreams and their full potential.
I love it. And in terms of action steps for people listening, because I don't want people to just consume this and take off, what commitment should somebody make listening to this today?
Literally do this. If you're on a computer right now or on your mobile, type in Merch by Amazon like we talked about, and simply submit your information there. So literally do that. If that doesn't interest you, this weekend or this week sometime, tomorrow, if you got to go to Walmart or go to Target or, you know, whatever department stores near you, simply take a minute and walk down clearance sections of, I don't know, the toy section, electronics section, sporting goods, and, you know, bring your phone with you and see if you can find a product that they have there that they're looking to unload, and just check it out on Amazon. You know, if you notice a big variance there, again, if it sells for 50 on Amazon, but you notice it for $5, again, if you have a couple bucks in your wallet, buy it. Buy whatever they have left, because then you can just at least take the action to sell something on Amazon with very little risk, but a lot of reward. And at least that's going to give you the confidence then that you made your first dollar online, as easy as that, that you can use then to, you know, whatever field you want to go into next, whatever avenue, whatever desire you have, you know.
I love it. Well, Nick, thanks a lot. And to everybody else listening here, seriously, figure out what your passion is. You deserve to have a business and a life of your dreams. Don't settle for, you know, prolonging what you truly want to do. I think everybody knows deep down that they have a gift and a passion to share. So start it, take some action, go check out Nick if you're interested in what Amazon has to say in 2016. I know he's crazy cutting edge. I'm always learning from him. And for those of you on YouTube, please hit subscribe, comment below. I'm sure Nick will be in there answering below here and share it. And I really appreciate your guys' time. It was a rock star hour, Nick. And I'm sure you'll be on here again, man. We'll be chatting soon.
Thanks for having me.
No sweat.